I know we all have a lot going on in our lives, and it's hard to remember things. And so I just want to tell, not you all, or you all here or watching at home, because I know you have it, but in case there's a friend of yours out there that wasn't paying attention earlier, on November 1st, our worship times are changing again. So, you know, this is not for any of you, because I know you know it, but just in case somebody else doesn't, we'll tell them again that on November 1st, 2 weeks from now, we're going to go back to our normal worship times, which you may have forgotten about. That's okay. It's been so long. We had to remind our youth director about it because he was only here for 2 months during the normal youth worship times. So normal worship times, 8:15, 9:25, 11:05. All in person, all requiring registration and masks. For those of you wishing to live stream at home, you can live stream 9:25, which will be a traditional service, much like the one you are watching now. Or you can live stream 11:05, which will be a more modern and contemporary service. So that's the plan, so that you know. Tell your friends 2 weeks from now that is what is happening. We're continuing in the Psalms today with our scripture coming from Psalm 134. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up our hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've made it to the end of the journey, both our journey here at church through the Psalms and our journey to Jerusalem that the Psalms have led us on. For the past several weeks, we've been looking at what are called the Psalms of Ascent, a collection of 15 psalms written for the people to sing on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the major festivals of Judaism. And here, with the short words of Psalm 134, we have finally made it. This is the final psalm of ascent. So what do we get in the end? What are the final words that are offered to us? Well, they're words of blessing. The final psalm of ascent is a psalm of blessing. You've made it to the festival. So what do you do now? Well, you bless God because God has blessed you. But what does blessing mean? That's where we need to start this morning, because we have a pretty warped idea of what it means to be blessed in our lives and in our world. If you were to do a search on Instagram of hashtagged bless, you're not going to get any references to Psalm 134. Instead, you're going to get pictures of people's exotic vacations and delicious meals. You're going to get pictures of married couples looking happy and laughing like they've never had a disagreement in their life. You're going to see family pictures with kids with matching clothes who look like they've never whined or refused to do their online schoolwork. Because blessing in our world means picture-perfect perfection, even if the only thing perfect is the actual picture being posted. Blessing in our world means happiness and ease. But that's not at all what this psalm is talking about. Instead, this psalm is talking about blessing in a way better way. Now, how could this blessing be way better than the picture-perfect happiness blessing we see in our world? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about it. The blessing this psalm is talking about is the unmerited, undeserved goodness of God. As Eugene Peterson puts it in the psalm book that many of you are reading, he says, it describes what God does to us and among us. He enters into covenant with us. He pours out his own life for us. He shares the goodness of his Spirit, the vitality of his creation, the joy of his redemption. He empties himself among us, and we get what he is. That is blessing. In other words, blessing is getting the gift of who God is. Blessing means that God is here among us. And why is that way better than the other way? Because this kind of blessing isn't limited to good times. Things don't have to be perfect in our lives for us to receive God's blessing. In our life of faith, blessing is there in the good and in the bad, in the easy and in the difficult. Blessing is there when you have a quick and uncomplicated trip to Jerusalem for the festival. And blessing is there when you aren't even sure you want to go to the festival. Blessing is the promise that God loves us, that God cares about us, and that God is here with us. We're blessed by God. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, has blessed each and every one of us. And as those who are blessed, we're called to bless God. The psalm says, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." In these words are a command, and in these words are an invitation. We have both a command to bless God and an invitation to bless God. So we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning talking about blessing God as command and blessing God as invitation and what that means and how we live that out. So first, we are commanded to bless God. Those words, "Come, bless the Lord," those are words of command. The psalm doesn't say, "Bless God if you feel like it," or "Bless God if you want to," or "Bless God if it's convenient for you right now." For the people originally singing it on their way to the festival, it was a reminder of their purpose. They made this journey to Jerusalem to bless and praise God. Of course, they're also human, so it may have been easy for them to be distracted from this purpose once they actually got to Jerusalem. Perhaps they turned to gossiping with friends they haven't seen for a while or complaining about the crowd of the organization of this year's festival. But when they sing the psalm, they're called back to their purpose. They're there to bless God. That's the commandment. That's why they made this journey in the first place. So the command to come and bless the Lord, it's a command for us in our lives today, too. It's a command for us to praise God, to celebrate God, to make our worship first and foremost focused on blessing God. So when we worship, whether you're gathering with us online or you're in the building, the focus on that time is to offer praise and blessing to God. It's not a time to gossip or complain. It's not a time to be focused on other things like what you want for lunch or what you should put on your grocery list for this week. It's an opportunity to bless God as God has blessed you. But this command of blessing, it's about more than just the 1 hour that we worship together. This command of blessing is a command of a way to change your life. To bless God is a lifestyle. To have a lifestyle of blessing God means that we pay attention to what God is doing. We aren't always going to be at a festival. We aren't always going to be at church. But this psalm doesn't stop being true when we're out living our lives. Paying attention to God is a spiritual discipline. Paying attention to God is a way to give blessing. Remember, we talked about how blessing is the promise that God is here with us? Well, we bless God when we take notice of the ways that God is actually here with us. Maybe that happens when you notice a moment of care in your family. Maybe it happens in a moment of grace while you're driving around in your car. Maybe it occurs in the hope of a new beginning. We spend a lot of time in our lives paying attention to stuff that doesn't actually matter at all. And as those who are blessed, though, we're called to command, and we're called and commanded to pay attention to what does matter. The presence of God. The promise of God. Live out this command of blessing by paying attention and then offering praise to God when you notice God at work. When I worked at Camp Wanakee, which is one of our United Methodist camps, every Monday, the whole camp would gather together for what's called wilderness worship. So we'd gather together at Vesper Hill, which is one of the outdoor worship sites at Wanakee. The path to Vesper Hill, it starts in the main part of camp, and as you might imagine, just essentially goes straight up a hill. As you start out on the path, there's this sign above the path that's been there since I've ever been there, and it says, God is nigh. It's been a tradition for as long as I've known Wanaki that when a group goes to Vesper Hill, they walk up that path in silence, using it as an opportunity to prepare for worship. If the group is old enough and together enough, they might even hold hands on the hike. For many years when I worked there, I would walk up to worship early every week with our camp director, to get everything set up and also to fog the area to get rid of mosquitoes, which is like the most important part of being at Wanaki, killing mosquitoes. And so we would gather all the stuff that we needed and we would head off. And every week, without ever mentioning what we were doing, we would walk that trail in silence. And for me, it became an important part of my week to pay attention to what God was doing. It was a time to pause and bless God for what was happening that week, good and bad. The campers might have only been there for about 24 hours at that point, but a lot can happen at camp in 24 hours. Those of you who have ever been to church camp or royal family camp with us know a lot can happen in 24 hours. And this brief walk was a time to bless God for being there, for offering love and hope and the good and the bad. It was a command for me to bless God, to pay attention. Come, bless the Lord. Those words are a command. Those words are also an invitation. God invites you to be a part of this life of blessing. For people traveling to the festival, it means that they are here, that they have made it, and that they can praise God even if they fought with somebody on the trip, even if they had just been forced to come along this year, even if they hadn't really been living a good life before this. But this blessing is also an invitation to participate, even if you couldn't make it to the festival this year. You have the invitation to participate in the blessing with these words, even if you're not there. Maybe you had to stay behind to take care of an aging parent, or maybe your kids were too young to go. Maybe you had to work, or maybe there was a pandemic and you couldn't go anywhere. That's okay. Blessing is an open invitation to wherever you might find yourself. Blessing is an invitation to find God at work in our lives. Blessing is a gift, whether we can make it to the festival or not. And this is especially good news in our current times. We're living in a time when we can't always make it to what we have made it to in the past, when our celebrations and our worship looks different. But that doesn't mean this invitation to bless God has changed. It's still there. We're still invited to bless God because God has blessed us. We're still invited to bless God whether because God is at work, whether we're at Jerusalem or in the church building or at home or at school or driving or walking or working. We're still invited to bless God because no matter where we are or what we're going through, the promise of God is that God is there and God is at work. As Jean Peterson writes again in this chapter, this blessing chapter is good. Even if you stalled in the book, go just read the last chapter. He writes, God enters into our need. He anticipates our goals. He gets into our skin and understands us better than we do ourselves. Everything we learn about God through Scripture and in Christ tells us that he knows what it's like to change a diaper for the 13th time that day, to see a report over which we have worked long and hard, carefully gathered dust on somebody's desk for weeks and weeks, to find our teaching treated with scorn and indifference by children and youth, to discover that the integrity and excellence of our work has been overlooked, and the shoddy duplicity of another's rewarded with a promotion. Blessing means that God gets it. And because God gets it, we're invited to offer our blessing back to God. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be correct. It doesn't even have to be at the festival. We're invited to bless God from wherever we find ourselves. We're invited to bless God, and we are commanded to bless God. Because we're blessed by God, we bless God. Ready to give it a try? Well, you have a psalm to guide you. Take Psalm 134 and just read it every day this week. Write it out and put it somewhere you'll see it every day. Make it your phone background. Memorize it. It's like three verses. Use these words to bless God. Follow the commandment and pay attention to what God is doing in your life. And receive the invitation to offer blessing. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to a holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you that you have blessed us with your love, with your presence, with your work in our world, in our lives. Help us to return that blessing to you. Guide us to pay attention to what you are doing in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.